Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I don't think going into the year anybody thought Dante was going to have 10 and a half sacks last year. I don't think anybody in here would have said that. And so we'll have somebody that to produce a higher sack total than what's thought to be. Okay. And so who that person is, I don't know. Will it be a collective of guys? I don't know. But I do feel that our pass rush will be better. I do feel definitely that our run defense will be better. Where will it come from? Which individual? It's too early to say, but it will come.
That's defensive coordinator Joe Witt of the Commanders talking defensive front. He's got to strategize. Him and Dan Quinn are going to have to mask a couple deficiencies if they're going to be as good rushing the quarterback this year. Fowler out back in Dallas, went back to the Cowboys. And John Allen in Minnesota with the Vikings now on the interior, a substantial loss. Although they got a little taste of what it's going to be like without John Allen last year because Allen obviously missed time with injury. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad. They're going to help you to draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, put together a medical, schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. And they're going to take care of you if they know that you're part of our listenership. They'll get you a good deal. Danny, before we hit the phones, 800-636-1067, the number to talk about the Commanders' pass rush. Is this your biggest concern going into minicamp, or do you have something else on your mind?
This is either one or 1A. I think it's probably one. So you said something actually last break that I wanted to circle back on. You said you don't think this will be the thing that we're talking about a lot. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but something to that effect, right? Where like, they can't get to the pass, or what are they going to do? I think this is going to be the discussion. The same way that they couldn't stop the run last year, and that's all most people wanted to talk about, was they can't stop the run. What are they going to do? On their way to the NFC title game. I think that's this year's conversation, is how do they generate pressure? Because I just don't see it without committing.
So I agree with you to an extent on that.
Let's try to get Grant reconnected there for a moment. I see him. I see his lips moving, but all of a sudden it doesn't look or sound quite as good. We will get that ironed out. But to me, I think this is going to be the story. This is the central thing where they're counting on a group of guys that haven't done it yet. And you could get away with that. I mean, we talk about this in Major League Baseball all the time, where you're looking at a group of guys that haven't delivered or haven't necessarily had full, huge, productive careers and seasons, saying they're going to. Until they do, you don't necessarily know. And I think we've got Grant back. I think you're about to jump in and say, GP, that you know you're facing similar questions here, talking about the pass rush. And I think this is going to be the central story of the defense and one of the themes that we talk about this year kind of throughout.
No, we're in lockstep on that. I think it's the biggest story of the season. I think we'll be talking about it constantly. What I meant, if it didn't come off clearly, was I don't think it's going to be bad enough that week to week we're saying this is a nightmare and it's them games. That's all. I don't think the story is going to be that they blew it to the point where they're now a bottom five, bottom seven, bottom.
Let's have him hang up, try again. The old technology bubble is so much fun. Gotta love the Rex Ryans. It is 2025 after all. 800-636-1067. We can grab some of these phone calls here as well, guys, and get to folks that want to chime in on this. Let's start with Brian on line four. Where does the pass rush come from?
Hello?
You're on, Brian. What's up?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you, Brian. What's up?
Oh, sorry about that.
It's all good.
I wanted your input and on why do we let Fowler leave? Am I wrong? 11.5 sacks is pretty darn good for a 7-game start. And it's definitely a concern for me, for sure, on the defensive line. So I'll hang up, and I want to hear your input on why we let someone go. I think he's getting $8 million for Dallas. Is that a lot of money? I'm not sure what this, you know, the numbers are. But for a 7-game start, almost 11 sacks is pretty darn good.
No, it's very good. I appreciate that. So there's several reasons. Number one, that was a breakout that had not happened. The previous three, I think he superseded his previous 3 years totals combined, or it was close to it. So maybe you don't trust that that was authentic, quote unquote. Part two is they decided, it seems, just based on their actions. I haven't spoken to anybody, no direct quotes or anything to that effect, but it seemed that they were most primarily concerned with first down, second down, run stopping. You look at the NFC title game, right? You see the little pitch to Saquon Barkley goes for 60 because you don't have a guy that can really set the edge. I think personally that's overrated. I know everybody's focused on that one play as kind of a microcosm. To me, run stop themselves for the most part. Week in and week out, run stop themselves with holding penalties, blown assignments, misses here and there, a good defensive play where you guess right, kind of Tecmo Bowe style, and knife in there. To me, it's about how you defend the pass, and I care way more about pass rush than I do about stopping the run. I'd like to stop the run. I think that's a secondary need, so to speak, behind making sure you're excellent against the pass. But that's not where the league's trending. We're sort of moving back to you know, making running backs great again, if that's even a thing. So I think they were really excited to not have him line up for, you know, the majority of the snaps at a defensive end or edge spot because he was exploitable in the running game. They didn't want to overpay, and they've kind of moved to a different model. You look at the guys that they brought in, Eddie Goldman, something in common here, Javon Kinlaw, Sheldon Day, whom they brought back, Dietrich Wise. These are bigger players at those spots, primarily for first down. So the idea, I think, Brian, and I think it's a great call, but the idea, I think, is if you can stuff somebody on first down for the sake of argument, right, make it a 2nd and 9, you've now made your pass rush better because there's nobody, you know, on a 2nd and 5, you're afraid of everything. On a 2nd and 9, you're not. I dare you to go ahead and try to run it again. That's a passing down now in this league, right? I mean, so to me, maybe that's the idea. Not something that I would do, by the way, but I think that was the idea behind that. Let's go to Tony in D.C., line 3. Tony, what's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Yeah, I think that we are not playing football and doing X's and O's, and we're back on this fantasy thing, right? If I told you I could get you a 5-sack guy and have your run defense be ranked in the top 10, you're a better defense than you are with that 10-sack guy. And we're talking about Fowler and him getting 10 sacks. You go down to Dallas and look at what's going on down there, and you know who put that defense together. They know how to create pressure. They know how to get the best out of these guys. Chasing a guy that's getting 10 or 12 sacks when your run defense is ranked 30th, that's fool's gold.
Appreciate you, dude. I just think you need to update your file. You and I see football differently, and I think that's fine. By the way, you're allowed to. You can see it how you want to see it. I mean, to me, there wasn't a tremendous correlation between, you know, great run stuffing and overall team success. The Jets, for example, I think were third in the NFL last year in yards per attempt in terms of the run defense. I'm not belittling that. Simply saying that was the case. Yes, I'd like to stop the run, but the quarterback makes all the money for a reason. The left tackle makes the second most money for a reason. The defensive end makes the, you know, 2.5 or third most money for the reason. The wide receiver is making a lot of money for a reason. I understand your point. I'd like to improve every element of the defense, but to me, I'm way more scared of a 10, 12, 30, 40-yard pass play than I am of giving up an extra half yard per carry in the run game. I know everybody just saw Saquon Barkley rip off the 60-yarder to start the game. I'm aware of that. I was there too. I was bummed. I didn't like that. And yeah, you got to be more assignment sound. I'm all in favor of improving the run defense. Not at the expense, though, of chasing, or, you know, not at the expense, though, of maybe worsening my ability to pressure the quarterback, making it more complicated. You saw this last year if you paid attention to me. The times that they said, okay, we're not letting the running game beat us. You could probably think of them on top of your head. First half against Baltimore, Derrick Henry did nothing. They committed resources to stopping the run. What happened? Zay Flowers went 77 catches for 1,000 yards in the first half, and Baltimore did whatever they wanted in the air. Numbers approximate. So they said, okay, that's killing us. We'll cover that. And, of course, Derrick Henry ran wild in the second half. Go to the Philadelphia games. Early on, they were probably terrified of leaving Benjamin St. Juste or Michael Davis or whomever on A.J. Brown. So they backed off. Saquon Barkley kills him for a quarter. Then they commit to stopping Saquon Barkley once Kenny Pickett came in the game, and he torched him. So, I'd like everything to be better, and I think we've got Grant back here. There's no question every element of the defense improving is good for everybody. But I guess if you're picking one or the other, I would pick pass rush and pass defense before I picked like the greatest run-stuffing unit in the world. They don't have to be mutually exclusive, but it seems like they tilted the scales, GP. I'll tag you in on this. In terms of what they prioritize, they tilted the scales towards run defense this offseason with their actions, more so than in improving their pass rush.
I think they wanted to get bigger and more physical, and they wanted to stop the run because of how bad it was last season. But I think it comes back to just looking at their own division, Danny. They see the Philadelphia Eagles and Saquon Barkley, if he stays healthy, as the team that they're chasing and the team they've got to be able to beat. And if that's the case, then you know what they're doing. They're playing bully ball, and they're going to out-physical you. They're going to run the ball on you. Saquon's going to go for 1,500 to 2,100 yards. And so I think everything they did this offseason, really on both sides of the ball, might have been through the lens of trying to close the gap with Philadelphia. I agree with you. If I'm building a team, I'm not building a team to stop the run first in a pass-first league. I would much rather defend, like you're seeing the league trend toward, to basically combat Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, where you're playing a deep safety, you're giving quarterbacks everything underneath. Completion percentages are going up, but points are coming down. Big plays, explosives are coming down. And if you want to run for 4, 5, 6 yards, look, the numbers are the numbers. I mean, we had more 1,000-yard rushers last year than we've had, I think, at any point in 15 years. We're back to a much more run-oriented offensive kind of philosophy in the league. As a correction to what you're saying, I think most defenses feel that way. You're in the majority, but maybe Washington's trending in a different way because of its division. Dallas doesn't really play that way, but maybe they're not as worried as Dallas. But I just think when you look in the conference, who are the big boys? Who are you chasing? It's the Eagles. Saquon goes for 2,000. It's the Lions, that two-headed monster. Now, Ben Johnson's gone, but obviously run first. You know, they want to ground and pound you. I just think that's what they're viewing right now as how you've got to play to get through the gauntlet of the NFC postseason.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense. So, you know, this is all kind of spawned from a caller a couple calls ago, GP, who said, why did they let Dante Fowler go, right? I mean, it didn't cost that much money to re-sign him. And, you know, I'm hypothesizing here why they didn't want to match the bidding. I think part of it, of course, is they don't want to overpay for a guy that hadn't done that for 3 years and all of a sudden did it for you. You pay for the breakout. You don't pay after the breakout. Then the next phase of that is I think they were really, really, really concerned about stiffening that run defense. And I don't know that, they clearly, it's beyond prioritizing it. It's like, hey, we made three moves and two of them are about the run. They basically made three moves and all three were about improving their run defense to me, right? When you shore up that defensive line and kind of the people they went and signed. That's what those moves reeked of, right? Not of a, hey, we'd also like to do this. It was like, this is what we want to do, even at the expense of pass rush. Like if Dietrich Wise is rushing the passer on third down, you don't have a great pass rush. I mean, that's kind of, you know what I mean? Like, that, I think it's even not to oversimplify, but I sort of think that's what's happening.
But is it a coincidence, I would ask, that the NFC Championship game, their last game they played that ended their season when they lost to their arch rivals in the division, they gave up 8 yards per carry to Saquon Barkley, like it was a Big 12 game?
No.
They gave up 77 yards to Will Shipley. They gave up you know, Dallas Goedert ran the ball for 13 yards, a tight end. I mean, it was 229 on the ground in that game. And we saw it the first time. You and I were at the link in Philly, sitting there watching the night game in prime time when they played with the Eagles. They did everything right for three quarters, if you remember.
Yep.
And then finally, Barkley got it going and ripped off a couple of long touchdowns, and it was over. And I just think they feel like if they can't stop the run, they can't beat the Eagles. And if they can't beat the Eagles, they can't accomplish their goals. But I'm with you. Maybe you went a little too far with just focusing on that element of it. Because if you give me some time, I promise you could come back with some great run-stuffing defenses that just weren't very good defensively in terms of turning teams over, generating pass rush to the point where you were forcing quarterbacks into mistakes. Like, that's what I care about. Getting the ball out of the quarterback's hand, moving him off his spot, getting him to throw the ball into windows that he doesn't want to. And I don't know that they're designing a defense that's going to do that, short of them just being able to mix and match schematically better than we're anticipating.
And I think that's my issue here. Issue's the wrong word. I think that's my sort of thing I'm not sure about, or my point of emphasis, whatever you want to call it. It's they went really far in this one direction, right, to make sure that their run defense is better. I think your Eagles point is probably right on, if I'm being honest. I think the ghosts of those couple of games are you know, have kind of governed their offseason in terms of what they're doing on defense. But to me, this is, you've got 15 games that aren't Philadelphia. And even in when you do play Philadelphia, I still need you to hit the quarterback. Like, that to me is what I wake up. If I'm a defensive coordinator, and my first goal each week is at the top of my whiteboard, my little sticky note to myself is, how am I getting the quarterback on the ground? How am I hitting that guy? Because everything sort of starts there for me. And in the old days, in the 1980s, when two teams are playing each other, here's the featured running back matchup. We're not there anymore. We haven't been. Despite the success of running games here of late to kind of counter the way defenses are built, where you're pretty much permanently a nickel, that quarterback still needs to be hit a million times. I don't think they're going to hit him enough with their current roster.
Danny's in our Half Street Studios in the Navy Yard. I'm out here in Orange, Virginia, where we just had an awesome charity golf tournament with my buddy Jermon Bushrod and his Visualize and Rise crew. It was a lot of fun. Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. E is in D.C., wants to hop in on the show and discuss this Commanders pass rush. What's up, E? How are you?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
I think they can generate a pass rush. I feel like at times, they were getting down from the secondary not being able to get hands on guys early. So I think if they're able to help get hands on guys a little bit earlier, coupled with offensive success, when you have a team, if Jaden Daniels and the gang are able to put them in a situation where they're up enough points where it isn't as advantageous to run you out of a game and you have to throw yourself out of the game, I think that could potentially help them. Now, if we're in a situation where we're in very close games, I don't know if we're going to be able to stop the run. You know, the jig may be up to say, if we're in a close game with Washington, you don't want five on the field. You want to bleed them as much as you can and get them off. And in the reverse, Washington has to be like, we want to keep him on the field as long as we can. Not to say we don't believe in our defense to do anything. No. But you know, this is how we're built, and we can either have long scoring sustained drives. Washington was on the field a lot in a long time, which can help your defense. So if you're in a bind, you're like, we don't have enough time to run them down like that. We have to pass our way out. That helps your young rookie Trey Amos be like, hey, man, you're going to get some work because you see the game. They're going to have to come your way because they have to pass themselves to win. And I like that formula for Washington.
Yeah, it makes sense, but I appreciate the phone call. I mean, Jeeps, I think about this, kind of to E's point, they played ball control down the stretch last year. After that three-game losing streak, remember, they basically said, okay, Jaden, you're also, not in addition to the passing game, you're the running game too. The ball is in your hands, dude. No longer a rookie. You're whatever's after that, right? You've ascended into stardom. You've got to carry us. They're playing a possession game where they're trying to manipulate the clock and not just run up the score, but they're doing all these things, 500-level quarterbacking, without a running game. And that was kind of the formula. And if I'm an opposing team, I'm going, well, I got to fix that. I can't let Jaden Daniels have the ball because I'm losing, right? It's you treat him the same way that you would treat a Drew Brees in his prime or a Tom Brady in his prime or a Mahomes now, where if I leave time on that clock and it's within one score, I could start the bus. You know, get the showers warmed up because we're going to need some hot water for this L we're about to take.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I'm looking at the NFC odds right now, Danny, just to kind of see if my point could be extrapolated out larger than Philly or Detroit. And maybe we're onto something with this, right? I'm bouncing this off here. I'm thinking of it on the fly. But the most likely team to win the NFC right now, according to sportsbooks, the Eagles at 3-1. Obviously, run first, maybe the most dominant running team in the league. And in your division, you play them twice. Then you've got, in the NFC again, to come out of the conference, the Detroit Lions at 4-1. They were the number 6 rushing team in the NFL last year. And that's not in terms of commitment and attempts, because they would have been higher than that. That was just an efficiency, right? Running for almost 150 yards per game. But they ran it more, so the yards per attempt, you know, at that level are sometimes going to be harder to sustain. But the Lions, really good running team. Then Washington, actually, third most likely to come out of the conference at 8.5-1, depending on the sports book. But then you look at Green Bay. The Packers are a top 5 rushing offense in the league. Matt LaFleur is going to be running the football. He comes from the Kyle Shanahan tree. That's the next team on the list, San Francisco. Then you've got the Rams. McVay is way more of a run-heavy coach and play caller than people think. So before you get really to Tampa Bay, you're talking about your top 5 contenders in the conference being among the best running teams, top 10 or so for most of last year in the league. And maybe that's what they decided was, what is our best path? We know we can get to the playoffs because of 5. Like, Jaden Daniels will be good enough that we'll get to the postseason. When we're going head-to-head with these teams and stacking up good on good, how do we do it? And maybe that's where they said, we'll worry about generating pressures and putting together packages. We've got to stop these running games or we don't have a chance.
There's something to that, honestly. I think you're probably onto something here. Just, again, sort of spitballing, thinking out loud, formulating this on the fly, it's almost a Moneyball-like approach, right? It's like the Tampa Bay Rays version of that, where if I would like a marquee pass rusher, I need a first-round pick, or I need $20 million to find a guy in his prime, or, you know, trading $30 million for Trey Hendrickson and like a future first because Cincinnati's unreasonable. Or I could be okay in terms of pass rush, much better at stopping the run, and I've got Jaden Daniels, the thing that everybody wants. So it's like saying, I can't afford a starter, but maybe I can cobble together a pretty good staff out of like 7 bullpen guys at a fraction of the cost and overpay for those guys a little bit, or I can, you know, enhance myself that way. Maybe there's something Moneyball to it.
What would you rather them be exceptional at? Stopping the run or getting to the quarterback? Fun little philosophical question. We could take a couple more calls on. Also, Patrick Corbin, a World Series hero for the Nats in 2019, is back to start for Texas tonight, as unlikely as that is, at Nationals Park. What's the reaction going to be like for him? We'll continue with that next right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Your way at 6:15. We'll take you up to pregame. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler tonight, 45 minutes out. And then the first pitch of Interleague Baseball at Nationals Park. The Nats have the Rangers in town. Patrick Corbin is back in the nation's capital to pitch against the Nats. The longtime, six-year National, 2019 World Series champion, struggled for 5 years, was out of baseball throughout the spring, and it looked like he was set for some type of a forced retirement, I guess. There weren't calls coming in. Rangers had some injuries. They took a flyer on Corbin, and he's actually been a revelation, one of the better stories of the first half of the season for Texas.
Baseball, man. Well,
so funny. We will talk about him coming up at the end of the hour, though, and what to expect from the fans greeting him tonight. But want to put a bow on our conversation on Washington's defense. Joe Witt Jr. speaking to the media. There is play the clip on him seeming like they don't have a whole lot of nerves or reservations about where they're at as a pass rush with Dante Fowler and John Allen gone.
I don't think going into the year anybody thought Dante was going to have 10 and a half sacks last year. I don't think anybody in here would have said that. And so we'll have somebody that to produce a higher sack total than what's thought to be, okay? And so who that person is, I don't know. Will it be a collective of guys? I don't know. But I do feel that our pass rush will be better. I do feel definitely that our run defense will be better. Where will it come from? Which individual? It's too early to say, but it will come.
Just hit the phones, 800-636-1067. John out in Ashburn where the facility is. What's up? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good, bud.
So one of the things that I think that we're not thinking about too much of is availability. So if you look at free agency last year, how many 10-sack edge rushers were on the free agent market that weren't liabilities in the run or severe injury history or something? They just weren't there. I'm sure if they were there, they would have grabbed one. So with the absence of a whole lot of options in free agency, yeah, they beefed up the run, which is one of their priorities. And then when you look at the draft, the way it fell out, we weren't in a draft position to be able to pick up a first half of the top round, first round edge rusher, though, because that's where your game changing edge rushers generally come from. So we took the best player available. So yes, we would like to address everything, but one thing to note on pass rush, the two ways to increase your pass rush, the other one is to make your cornerbacks better. And we did that, so I think with a better quarterback room, that'll help a little bit. And we just didn't have the edge rushers available to pick up.
Appreciate that. So I smell what you're cooking. Now, I couldn't tell you the rushing grades, or rush defending grades, rather, of every single free agent that was available. But I guess my point is, I understand not wanting to pay 30 for someone that's at the top of the market. But you couldn't have won the bidding on Harold Landry, right, to outpay the Patriots who are giving him 14.5 AAV in sort of that tier, a guy that's been a 9, 10, 10.5 sack player, pretty well-rounded as far as I can tell, out of Tennessee over the last several seasons. I mean, that's kind of the point that I'm making here is to say, oh, well, fare thee well. They paid Javon Kinlaw that money. Like, I would have rather had Harold Landry than Javon Kinlaw. They wouldn't have, right? Like,
well,
they prioritized a different subset. I see your point. I think it's a good one in general, but there are specifics where they opted for kind of this extreme exit off of the road of good defense.
I'll go one step further with Kinlaw. I mean, they broke the bank. Paid him more than it seemed like anybody else was going to, and they did it minutes after they were allowed to. That was obviously a priority, right? It's funny, not that I know this from experience or anything, But you get the runaround. It's like, oh, yeah, I can meet up Monday. On Monday, something happens. Oh, let's get together Wednesday. Wednesday, something happens. At some point, you got to realize if she was that interested in you, she'd probably make some time. Like Wednesday night might have been okay. Maybe Friday night. Maybe Sunday night. When you keep not being available, might just be that I'm not much of a priority, right? So in this case, if they wanted an edge, they got an edge. You're right. They had other needs. They had other things. They needed a tackle. They needed a corner. They clearly thought they needed a tackle more. They needed a corner more.
Right.
They needed a D tackle more. It just wasn't something that was that high on their priority list. That's how you get here. Shane's in Switzerland. We're listening. We're playing in Switzerland
rolling
right
in
now.
Switzerland.
We talking about Switzerland on the Odyssey app. What's up?
About that fondue. Let me tell you something, guys. I don't know if you guys like fondue or not, but the only place to get fondue is over here where I'm at. It is the best.
It's is that a thing? Crazy. Fondue's big in Switzerland?
Oh, yeah, man. You can walk to any local village, because then here they're villages, right? So you walk up to your local village that's got your cheese and whatever it is. They got your yogurt, and there's nobody there. You just lay your money down, and you write you out your receipt, and it's a trust thing, right? So. Oh, yeah, it's great, man. We just had it tonight. It's fantastic. But anyway, Commander Danny and Grant, thank you once again for letting me be on your show. But look, here's the thing, man. Our defense has sucked since Ron Rivera. Let's call it what it is. There is no pass rush on there. You think Deron Payne all of a sudden is just going to come out and get 9 sacks this year? No, he only did it once in his career. And at that point, you know, he's, in my opinion, he is the one that's holding this team back. He has done nothing for this organization. And at that point, we got to move on from him. But no, the pass rush is a serious thing. We've not had a pass rush since Ron Rivera. We drafted Chase Young. Look at the front four we had even then, and they couldn't even put hell, my four-year-old son could got more pressure on him than they could. That's a fact.
He's got good bend. He's got good bend.
We need help. And you try to say Lattimore is going to be the answer? If you ask me, he's not proven nothing since he's been here. So the Saints is winning this trade right now.
Appreciate
Shane's 4-year-old son. I've seen him rush the quarterback. He's got a pretty good club move.
Not
I will
a great
say.
Array of moves. It's yeah. more like swing in the midsection.
I like when he sets you up with that inside jab step.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
got that free
little
spin
windshield
on
washer move. He's mm-hmm. got too. So let's not sleep on your 4-year-old getting more pressure than them, Shane. I mean, you've taught him well. He's over there in Switzerland getting fondue. You think he doesn't know how to get to the quarterback? I bet he does. Scott Silver Spring, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing, man?
Good, buddy.
Hey, so I don't want to get away from the point, and I know Jaden had a lot to do with the success we had last year. I get that, but let's remember where we were the year before last year, and where we went to last year, and everybody's questioning now this and that, and. Last year when we signed Fowler, everybody's like, what are you signing him for? He's never had more than 3-4 sacks in the season. Now everybody's, you know, some people are upset. And you know, the caller that just called in, I don't know. I'm not talking about him. But it's just that whole – I think the people making the football decisions now actually know what they're doing for the first time in a long time. And I think they've earned the right to get 1 year of what they do to see what happens, because we flipped the roster of how many guys from the last Ron Rivera year to the last year, and we came out pretty good. And again, I know Jaden was a big reason for that. However, one man doesn't play a football game by himself, and we came a long way. I think I know. We don't know what the market for Kinlaw was, and maybe they made that move early because they knew other people were interested, and they see something in him. I mean, he was in San Fran when he got drafted. Peters was there, so we don't know. I'm interested to see what happens. I'm not saying everything they did is right or whatever, but
no, it's a good point. Look, in 2023, they went 4-13. They're a last place team. They're firing people, and they're looking for a GM and a head coach. And last year, they won 9 more games than that. They go 12-5. It was one of the biggest turnarounds ever. And they got to the NFC Championship game. They did things last year they hadn't done since I was in a diaper. So I'm with you. The progress was real. It was a great leap. And they've got the benefit of the doubt. Nobody's sitting here saying, I don't believe that they're right. They may well be. But there's still an exercise during the offseason to go position by position here. You know, philosophy by philosophy and idea by idea and chop it up and say, okay, what do we like? What don't we like? What are we confident in? What aren't we? With Ron Rivera, most of the time, they were wrong. And the people on the outside were right. Dumb fans like us were right a lot of the time, and they were wrong. This group's won, and a lot of us are oh. But that doesn't mean, you know, we just say, okay, we'll see you in September. And until then, every time they make a move, it's the best move. There's still a dialogue to be had, I think, and there's some critical thinking to be done.
I think that's very well said. I mean, the summary of the call is, hey, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. And that's my default, by the way.
Agreed.
Is to say they're smarter than me. They know more than me. Adam Peters is more handsome than I am. It's not even part of the discussion, but relevant nonetheless. This one, I don't quite see the way that they see it, and I'm trying to, A, figure out what it is that their plan was. I think you stumbled onto something pretty astutely, I might add, in terms of dealing with opponents and maybe trying to chase the Eagles and having be that where their eye line is, you know, to make sure they're prepared to beat them a couple of times, maybe three times on their way to an NFC title game and hopefully beyond. So that's all we're doing here is breaking that down. I understand people don't like to hear after an NFC title game appearance for the first, you know, 11-win season plus in 30 years, any questions. Sorry about that. Adults are talking. We're going to question things. Doesn't mean we're knocking it, right?
Well, like, also because a 12-win team still has areas that are not strengths. Could be a 13-win team. Let's say they've built a 13-win team. It could be a 15-win team. You're just trying to figure out where there are still areas mm-hmm. where they could push the envelope a little bit and where they could be a little more aggressive. But it's just, you know, GMing like Adam Peters does or coaching like Dan Quinn does, these are not perfect jobs. You know, if you're a plumber, you fix the toilet or you don't, right? If you're fixing a pothole, either I drive over and I don't notice it or I do. In the case of GMing, if I'm batting 500, I'm really good. If I'm batting 600, I'm going to the Hall of Fame. And so we're still trying to find, there's still 50%, 40%, whatever it is out there, where there's areas where they're going to get some right and some wrong. And we're trying to predict which areas are those that are going to go really well and which could go sideways. So maybe there's a contingency at some point you could put together. All right, next, I do want to dabble into Patrick Corbin coming to Nats Park tonight, Danny. This is a pretty cool story. He's back in D.C. He was a big member of the 19 World Series team, but he's a guy that has drawn the ire of Nats fans for years because after the 19 run for a title for five straight seasons, he really struggled, and now he's back pitching well. How's he going to be received? We're going to talk about that next on Grant and Danny.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Corbin's retired 10 in a row. And Davey Martinez is coming out. He's looking out toward the bullpen. He's not made a signal.
Well, the fans are sensing it. They're coming to their feet.
Corbin is going to give him the baseball. Davey pats him on the chest and then pats him on the side of the cheek and makes the signal to the bullpen. And Nationals fans all around Nationals Park are coming to their feet to salute Patrick Corbin for the final time. He doffs his cap to all corners of Nationals Park on his way to the dugout. And handshakes in the dugout as Corbin will end his season, retiring the final 10 Kansas City Royals. 2019 World Series champion Patrick Corbin getting a final ovation.
That was a great moment for Corbin in Nationals Park a year ago in his final start. Of course, you get that ovation despite five really tough seasons when you help guide the team to a World Series championship in 2019. And I think, Danny, that's what gets lost in the Corbin ledger.
Yep.
And certainly over the last few seasons during a never-ending rebuild, I think what people forgot was they signed him as the missing piece to the rotation. Post-Gio, they needed that third starter with Scherzer and Strasburg. And in the 19 year, boy, did he deliver. Had a 3-2 ERA, was throwing some complete games, threw over 200 innings, and struck out 240 batters. And he was amazing. He was just outside of the top 10 in Cy Young voting that year. And then not only did he make some key starts in the 2019 playoff run, but they pitched him out of the bullpen during that 19 postseason, including
multiple times, yeah.
Being one of two pitchers to ever throw three-plus innings in relief in a clinching World Series Game 7 for his team. They don't win that title without him. Now, does five bad years and $140 million contract even out when you had one really good year and helped win a World Series? I guess that's up for you guys to decide. But what I always thought about Corbin was, at a time where they rebuilt, they traded away all the veterans that had any value, he was the only guy that made any real money left on the team. So when they went out to dinner, he picked up the tab. When they were having, you know, team gatherings, it was at his house. When a young guy was having an issue, he was the guy that was answering the questions for him and saying, hey, come to my hotel room. I'll chat it up with you, whatever. He's teaching them how to be a player all the way down to when we get on the bus, like the rookies bring the extra beers and we'll keep him in this room. All that stuff's up to Patrick Corbin for years. There's no one else around. And that stuff may not matter to the fan in section 327 when he's getting his teeth kicked in the third inning, but it certainly mattered in the room. And I don't know there were many guys that were more popular in team history in the clubhouse during my time around the Nats than him.
Yeah, just an outstanding teammate. Answered every question, every time. Never ducked from it. While he was giving up the most hits in baseball three times in 5 years. While he gave up the most earned runs in baseball three times in 5 years. Most home runs. He had that distinction once. He was terrible here after his World Series year. There's multiple ways to go about that, right? Now, I'm not saying you should feel sorry for him or think he's some kind of hero for, you know, doing what he's supposed to do. And the performance wasn't there, but you're right. I mean, there's a lot of shells. A lot of guys would have done a lot of things differently, I would say, than consummate pro Patrick Corbin. And there's part of me that's pretty glad, actually, that he found something so far in Texas where all of a sudden he's been a godsend for them, keeping them maybe above water or you know, from taking on more water. It's not as if they're having a great year in their own right, but yeah, I mean, to me, the legend is this. They didn't pay Bryce Harper, and as Harper was wondering, could I get that money back? Remember the conversation you and I had with Mark Lerner, as, you know, is that offer still on the table? Is it not? Nah, we paid Patrick Corbin. Boom, there you go. It's almost a one-for-one swap, right? It's who are you better with, Patrick Corbin and Adam Eaton or Bryce Harper in right field? There you go, and that was kind of the answer. as they went forward from there. And they don't win that World Series without Patrick Corbin. And that was after a couple, by the way, nasty hiccups in the postseason run where he came out of the bullpen and was awful a couple different times and probably changed the course of his career with the way that he was used. Starting games, coming out of the bullpen in other games. But again, it's really, to me, a buildup to, you know, it really started to click. Got a couple huge outs against lefties against the Cardinals in the NLCS. And then, of course, we all know the story, the World Series, where I remember during COVID times we're all at home and we did the watch the Nats watch the World Series game on Zoom, if you recall that.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And Zimmerman and a couple other guys kept making the joke. By the way, Patrick Corbin is still pitching in this game. Like, you forget how integral those late inning outs were to get to the bridge to finally get these guys that could close the game out. They don't win the World Series without him. It's pretty simple.
Well, our poll of the day is about his return to the park. You can go vote on the G&D poll of the day right now. It's presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. The question is, how is he going to be received? Is it going to be a standing ovation? Will there be a lot of booing? Do you think it's going to be a little bit of both? Right now, 78% of people think it's going to be a very positive, warm welcome. And I don't know why it wouldn't be, honestly. They're saying standing ovation. I think that'll be the case. Again, it's not a crime to underperform. And to underperform as a mensch, you know, to do it as a pro, to do it as a guy that just showed up every 5 days, ultra durable, and all those little things in baseball, the subtleties of saving your bullpen, because you'll go out there when you're struggling and give you the extra inning or two so you don't have to get people up in the pen. You know, the stuff that gets you thank yous from your teammates and bottles of wine put in your clubhouse stall because, you know, guys are fired up that you saved the pen on a day where no one was available or whatever. You know, he did all that stuff over and over and over again. So I think Nats fans are pretty sharp. I think they're smart. And I think it's going to be a very, very positive response tonight when he comes back.
I do, too. So you remember, there have been a number of times where guys who played here for like an hour would get really nice ovations and some applause from Nats fans, let alone someone that helped you win a World Series. I mean, we know the regular run of heroes, right, where all we got was the time we had with Howie Kendrick. And anytime I see Howie Kendrick, like, he gets applause. You know, or Adam Eaton or, Rendon or Soto or whoever. But this one was different because he was then here for when it got bad, right? And he was almost the face of it, whether it was his fault or not. I mean, he's just taking the ball every fifth day, doing his best, and his best wasn't very good, quite frankly. But I know he rubbed a lot of fans the wrong way simply because of that performance that we're talking about. But I'm with you. I think enough time has passed. And simply because of that World Series, I think it'll be a very nice ovation.
If you want to chime in on this, you can. 800-636-1067 is the number. We can discuss, as many of you make your way to the ballpark, what the Corbin start against the Nats could look like tonight in the way of the crowd. But it juxtaposed how he's thrown this year to the last several years. It really is a pretty amazing, you know, renaissance campaign for him. He has bounced back in a big, big way. And I thought there's a chance maybe you just have one more year and you make a few million dollars. Like, the way he's thrown, he might have a couple more years after this in his career if he wants it. As a lefty especially, you know, you move him to the pen and go left on left maybe with the big sweeping slider. There's a chance he could be actually having another chapter still to come if he moves out of the rotation. So it's going to take finishing up the way he started, but it's certainly back on the table for Corbin after it seemed like nobody was answering the phone when he was calling early in the offseason. Also, before we get out of here, Danny, we're taking people up to 6:15 in pregame. Little Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag, our little Ask Us Anything. If you've got a question for us, something we didn't talk about today you wished we would have, something non-sports you want us to answer for you, you can call us now and ask us those questions. We'll hit them before we say goodbye at 6:15 on this Friday.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.